This is Windy City Sports Talk, the podcast.
A show that features all the latest news, in-depth analysis, as well as compelling conversation for the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Bulls.
This is what Bulls basketball is all about.
Blackhawks.
That's hockey, baby.
Cubs.
Quiet. The Cubs win the World Series.
And the White Sox. Windy City Sports is on the air. And now here's your host, Will Hatzel.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Windy City Sports Talk. I got a good friend with me again today. His name's Jared, and he might be one of the leaders of the Justin Fields fan club. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Two big topics here. We want to talk about the Bears and this whole Justin Fields dilemma. Also want to get his thoughts on the Bulls, who think that they could just keep running with the team they have right now, and they might be legit contenders for being average or being mid, but we'll save that for the second half of the podcast. The first half of the podcast here, we want to talk about Justin Fields. We want to talk about the Bears situation. We're, I think, at the time of us recording this, about a week away from the combine, and, you know, with free agency a few weeks away too. It's there's a lot to consider if you're Ryan Poles and this organization. And I don't really envy them. I'm not jealous of being Ryan Poles with this position. Like, I love playing Madden, and I'll be a GM in Madden in franchise mode, but that's as far as I'm going to go, because this is real stuff. You know, this is a very difficult decision to make. But Jared, welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, your first time on the podcast. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Will. I am doing great. Well,
still a suffering Bears fan.
Yes, right? Very suffering, but I also fear for the future and what may come.
And I'm guessing what you're fearing is Justin Fields getting traded. Stop. And the Bears getting Caleb. Well, I mean, I feel like that's just, we'll get right into it here. And, you know, people know my thoughts, obviously, since bringing this podcast back to life about a month ago. So I want you to lead it off. Like, why do you think Justin is the guy, and why they should stick with him going forward?
Why Justin Fields is the guy. William, do you know of a quarterback named Josh Allen?
I do, and I like him. He's pretty good.
And he drew those comparisons last year once he got DJ Moore, of course, when Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs. That's when he made his leap. But Josh Allen, as is Justin Fields, is a very raw talent. Yes, he's shown he can make a lot of mistakes, but I think he's a project that you need to develop over time, and that means like adding weapons like DJ Moore, Stephon Diggs, the generational talent that is Marvin Harrison Jr. Justin Fields shows that he can make those like special plays, those unique plays that other players just can't make, those special plays you need in the game that takes you over the top. And I think just over time, he can develop into a quarterback with the help of Marvin Harrison Jr. and DJ Moore and a consistent offensive coordinator. Which I do like. I like the hire that we did get from the Seahawks. I love that hire, but I'm afraid that's not for Justin. But if he had those pieces, I believe that he could get to where we need him to be, and even more, just because how special of a talent he is.
And that's the thing. I think the biggest defense for Fields, and this isn't, you know, some people say, because again, I'd be listening to radio, podcasts, you know, ESPN, TV, stuff like that. Like, everybody's on different spectrums and different sides of this whole debate. But I do think one legitimate argument for him is that just the talent wasn't there. It was DJ Moore, and that's it. The running back room was solid. But, you know, when you have, again, you look back at that Browns game, and you have Robert Tonyan dropping a would-be touchdown, big touchdown pass. You have the Hail Mary, or the Hail Mooney, as some would call it, that, you know, again, it's right in Mooney's hands, in his chest. And I know that's a crazy play. He's fallen backwards. He's on his back in the end zone. You know, I'm not saying it's an easy play, but at the same time, when he does put that ball in the right spot, there's the right guys aren't always there.
Yeah, and you see throughout his career, he can make those plays, but most of the time his receivers do let him down and drop those passes. I remember, I don't know if it was last year or a couple of years ago, fourth down, had to go for it. And it was like a 2-minute drill against the Packers. And Justin Fields was dropping back on fourth down, got out of the pocket, threw a dime to Equamania St. Brown, and he drops it for the first down, and the game is just over.
And okay, just, yeah, you reminded me of that one now too. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, that was either 20. I don't know. There's 2021 or 2022. Was that a year against the Packers? Right,
against the Packers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And of course, against them, we would fail. Of course.
Yeah, and it was just like that's what he has just had to deal with throughout his NFL career so far. And I believe just give him Marvin Harrison. Like that is a generational talent. That's Justin Jefferson. That's Tyreek Hill. Not in speed wise, but you know, that's just in that tier. I just believe if we can get Marvin Harrison, Justin Fields will ball out, and this team will improve.
And that's the thing. Like, and regardless of who the quarterback is, if it's Justin next year, if it's Caleb Williams, if it's Drake May, if it's Penix Jr., if it's whoever. You have to get more talent. Something that I've been, my running football Bears theme on this podcast in the last couple of weeks has been the idea of like when you build an offense, look at the, you know, this year's maybe not the best example of the Chiefs because they didn't have a lot of talent around. But Patrick again, when you have a quarterback like Mahomes, he'll get the job done. But you look at teams like the Eagles, they have multiple number one wide receivers. You have Tua, you know, Tua is not, in my opinion, he's a good quarterback, but he's not great. But he has moments of greatness because of Tyreek Hill and Jaden Waddle. Wall. I mean, he's got multiple wide receivers,
Brandon Ayuk, multiple
running backs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look Christian at the McCaffrey. 49ers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you look at all these teams that have depth, meaning three legitimate wide receivers that could be called upon whenever and catch the ball and make big plays. You have running backs, you have tight ends. That's what you need. I mean, even the Patriots, you know, not that we celebrate Aaron Hernandez, of course, but even when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, two legitimate tight ends along with the receivers that they had. So it doesn't hurt to have multiple guys to surround your quarterback again, whether it's Justin Fields coming back for his fourth season or a rookie quarterback coming in for the first time.
Yeah. And it's not to say that if we were to, No, I'm not going to get into Caleb Williams yet. But another point I would want to make about Justin Fields, like there's all these other teams, other QB needy teams that want Justin Fields. And you just look and you look at like the hypothetical rosters that if Justin Fields were to be their quarterback, like the Falcons, Justin Fields, Bijan, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, weapons, that's a team people respect that offense. But what's the difference between that and the Bears or like in the Steelers? Najee, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth. It's just not enough talent on the Bears. And it's just so simple, but I understand how heavy the risk is passing up on what Caleb Williams could be in the league.
Yeah, many don't think it would be wise or possible even for Ryan Poles to go 2 years in a row with the number one pick and trade it both times. And like, this is where I stood originally, like when our, you know, another friend of ours that you know, Skyler, when he came on here literally like a month ago, when I rejuvenated this podcast, this was the first topic we talked about. At that time, I was like, you know what? Let's keep Justin. I thought, you know, I think Luke Getsy was a big part of being a, you know, a scapegoat because, well, you know, he didn't really run a good offense. And I know the Bears didn't have a lot of talent, but I don't think he succeeded in even trying to do things that would work with what you have right now on this roster for the 2023 season. And again, we could sit here and defend. And again, there are legitimate reasons why about not having enough talent around him. You know, if you go ahead and you trade that pick and you get a haul in return, maybe you get another player like you did last year. You get some picks and you get a player, whether that be a wide receiver again, or maybe somebody on the defense, an offensive lineman. Either way, you trade back a couple, you try to get Marvin Harrison or one of the other wide receivers, because there's a lot of them. There's Malik Nabers. There's again, Adunze. There's like four or five legit wide receivers, wide like receiver the quarterback. Class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even if you don't get Marvin Harrison, you still have a good chance of getting somebody with the ninth pick or in the second round. And that's where I was at first, Jared, but I'm not going to lie. Again, after listening to many podcasts and listening to our Chicago sports stations out here, I know you're in Indy, so you're in Colts and Pacers land right now.
Yeah.
Like, I've been listening to a lot of analysis and breakdowns, and I'm not going to lie, I'm starting to change.
You're on the Caleb Williams train? No.
I'm starting to get on that, man, and I'll tell you why. And then you could rebuttal and try to convince me to come back to where I was. Look, here's the thing. A lot of people out there think that the Bears owe it to Justin Fields to make this team better. And I get that, but at the same time, that's if Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace were still here. Ryan Poles, as the typical thing with the Bears, every time they get new coaches and general managers, they inherit stuff from the past and they never are allowed to bring in their own guys. So, I mean, Ryan Poles has no obligation to do anything for Fields. Like, as much as I love Fields, now would be the time to draft a guy like Caleb and give him a chance, and you reset the quarterback clock with the, you know, with the contract, and you have a ton of money to spend in free agency this year, especially after cutting Whitehair and Eddie Jackson. Spend that money on other positions, finish up solidifying the defense, but also really hammer in finishing up that offensive line, getting multiple weapons to put around Caleb, and
maybe sign Mike Evans.
Mike Evans or one of the veteran. There's a handful of veteran wide receivers that are worth bringing in here. I would do both. Bring in a veteran presence and also draft one or two guys. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't load up on offensive talent. But I just, my problems, Jared, come to, like, you know, in his career in 3 years, never averaging over, like, his average yards per game in all three seasons, always under 200. He got very close. He had 197 this past year in 13 games. That's not great. And I know we could look at the Browns game where there's drop passes by wide receivers and tight ends. I get that. But then I look at a game like against the Vikings the second time when they played in Minnesota, when they won the snooze game where it was all field goals. Like, in the fourth quarter, when Justin has the opportunity to ice the game, to basically put one touchdown drive is all you needed in that game to put the final nail in the coffin and just let the defense keep cruising, because I think they had like four picks on Dobbs that game. He fumbles twice and the Vikings get the ball, and it's a close game, and it's still a game when he could have closed it out. So his inaccuracy with passing down the field, you know, medium to long range passes, not really being able to average 250 to 300 passing yards a game. My worry is just, at the end of the day, mobile quarterbacks are outstanding. They're fun to watch. But as we saw, like in the Lamar and Mahomes AFC championship, at the end of the day, what won? It's still the elite passer, the gunslinger.
Okay. But that game,
rebuttal.
That game, the Ravens did it to themselves. They beat themselves. They just forgot what brought them to the AFC Championship game. They just didn't run the ball at all. They just said they passed right out the gate, and they're the number one leading rushing team in the league. And I think Gus Edwards ran the ball like 8 times. I think there was 8 called run plays.
Man, Nagy must have been there calling plays for David Montgomery like back in the day.
Oh my gosh. Oh, don't. And he got another ring. I hate that he got another ring. But yeah, that. And then to your point about the, what was it? I was just going to say, I understand. I understand it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. Justin Fields has these opportunities time and time again to kind of silence silence the crowd, the haters a little bit. But he turns the ball over, fumbling, or he holds the ball too long and he gets sacked. And I understand all that. It could also be a part of coaching in terms of, you know, calling these screenplays that just don't work ever, but they continue, which I guess I give to them, sticking to what they are. But Luke Getsy just cannot run an offense without Aaron Rodgers. And
he's an offensive coordinator again now with the Raiders. I know, so I'm kind of surprised.
I don't understand how these coaches keep getting these jobs, but, and Did I see like Mark Trestman got a job somewhere? Where did he go?
He's with the Chargers now. He's like Chargers, like a senior offensive assistant or something. Like, okay, I guess you could assist, but you're not going to be calling plays or whatever over there. Cause yeah, that's another guy. Like, yeah, maybe stick with Canadian football.
Yeah. And I understand. And I like the, if you draft Caleb Williams, you have to kind of go all out and get him as much weapons as you can, protect him as much as you can. And I feel like if you do draft Caleb, yeah, you just got to shell out all the cap space we have to kind of protect him, get two or three offensive free agent pieces that you didn't get from the draft. Say you didn't get a wide receiver through the draft, you get a Mike Evans or another veteran wide receiver, like you said. But it's just the cycle. It's the definition of insanity, doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. Now I get it. Caleb Williams has been hyped up to be a generational player, like a generational talent, Mahomes level. But it's the same thing. Bears, draft a quarterback, fire the coach, draft a new quarterback, fire the new head coach coming in, because they never, like you said, get the chance to draft a guy that they want or come in what they want. I had something else for Justin Fields, but I forgot it.
Well, and look, here's the thing. Like, Justin, there's no reason to hate on him. If you're a hater, I guess I don't know why you would be, you know, because it's like, I think some people judge him or have a negative opinion because he's kind of on the, like, he's, you know, Mitchell Trubisky was happy, smiley, go lucky guy. But at the end of the day, I don't really care about that. I want to win games. I want you to be competitive and whatnot. And that's what Justin is. I mean, I didn't like Jay Cutler because that guy had a I don't give a shit attitude. I mean, he just he sat there. He had that little like side shoulder slump going. The guy, you could tell he didn't care because nobody else throws five interceptions in a game unless they're down by 20 points and they're trying to make a comeback in the Super Bowl where you're in desperation mode.
Right.
This guy, he just, you could tell like somebody like him by his body language and the way he played, he wasn't a great leader. And okay, does he have a serious look on his face all the time? Yeah. But you got guys still defending him on podcasts and in interviews at the Super Bowl talking about that they want him to be the quarterback next year. So regardless of what us fans think with the outside perspective, he's well respected in that locker room. People like him. People want to see him succeed because ultimately a lot of it isn't his fault. But at the same time, it's the NFL. This is top level. This is top tier. And this is a business. So it's like if you're not going to get it together, you know, after 3-4 years, I think there's more potential there than with Mitch, but I've gone from having patience to defend him to where I'm like, maybe you need to get somebody different than just, again, reset that quarterback clock and not have to worry about, you know, because again, if Caleb is the guy, you don't have to worry about giving him a big deal for 3 or 4 years. You could, again, spend all this money, load up on defense, get the talent with them on offense, and you worry about contract decisions later on. Like, let's make a playoff contending team, and 5 years from now, if we have to debate, okay, do we re-sign this guy or trade this guy so we could free up cap space to re-sign that guy in offense or on defense, let's worry about that later when the time comes. Not be reckless with the cap, but just do something different and actually win games. Like, build a team now, be aggressive, and then you worry about those decisions down the road when the time comes, if that makes sense.
Right. And like you said, like, not only is he well respected around like the locker room and those close to him around the league, but also like all around the league, players also respect and see the type of talent Justin Fields is. There's players defending. I know CJ Stroud went to Ohio State, but he said someone asked him what the Bears should do, and they said they should keep him, but you know, they're the Bears and they might not.
Yeah, everybody knows. Yeah, everybody knows our reputation. Mm-hmm.
But is this a? I have a question. Is this even a conversation? If we're not in the position we are in now, like if we're in the position to maybe get Michael Penix or a Drake May, is it because of Caleb Williams we have to ponder trading Justin Fields, or is it Is it because Justin Fields has just been that run out of Chicago?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think if they didn't have a top 10 draft pick, I don't think we're having the conversation about the quarterback. Because here's the thing, they probably, even again, say they had a pick, you know, outside of the top 10, I still think you have to take a quarterback this year, just in case if Fields, you know, has another bad year and you decide not to pick up the fifth year option.
Yeah, but he's not, like, you're not drafting him to be the starter. You're drafting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because then at that point you're getting, you know, maybe you're getting like you said, Drake May, or maybe you're getting Penix, or, you know, a guy that I actually kind of like, believe it or not, is Bo Nix. I think we really saw some growth out of him. He got better over time. I know at Auburn he was nothing special, but I think he's a project. There are some of these guys I think are projects where they're not going to be guaranteed starters right away, or guaranteed, you know, franchise quarterbacks. Like, they may need a little bit of time. So, like, again, you'd be giving Justin a chance to continue playing well and proving himself. And in the background, your plan B, just in case, is you got Bo Nix or whoever developing in the quarterback room. And yeah, ultimately,
Jordan Love just back there.
Yeah.
God, I hate that too.
and that just goes to show you too that, yeah, I mean, you can develop, you can have a quarterback sit back and relax and develop for 2 or 3 years and go that route. So I think this would not be such a heavy conversation and a heavy focus if they weren't in the top 10. I mean, if they were still at 9, like, say they didn't have the first pick because of the trade and they still were at 9, I think you're still having the quarterback conversation, because there's, again, a couple quarterbacks are going to go, but so are a couple of wide receivers. And then you're always going to have a team that wants a pass rusher, an offensive lineman that might take up one or two spots. So I definitely think this would be a conversation in top 10. We'd be a lot more relaxed if they're out of the top 10.
Gotcha. And I kind of agree with that. And that makes it a little bit easier to sit with Justin Fields maybe being traded. But
let me ask you this. Speaking of him getting traded, if he gets traded, like, what team do you think is a good destination for him? Is it Atlanta?
Oh, it's Atlanta.
Yeah, to me, that makes sense. He's from there. And, you know, I wouldn't say the talent they have really excites me. Like, I don't think they have, like, you know, I know they have Drake London and a couple of other guys. Kyle Pitts.
Robinson.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a couple of unicorns on that team. Mm-hmm. It's just, and they have Arthur Smith out of the building. That is out important.
He is not there.
That is important.
They hired, I think, what, Dan? No, no, that Dan Quinn used to be the Dan Quinn went to Washington.
Yeah,
that's another team too. Like, I wonder. I would love the Bears, if they're gonna do a trade, to do it with like Washington or New England, because they're right there to where we'd be in Marvin Harrison Jr. land still.
Did Cliff.
But I don't know if we're gonna get a first round pick for Fields either.
Right. And I think only Atlanta is offering that. I've only heard rumors of that. I don't know if that's for sure confirmed. But didn't Cliff go to Washington?
Yes, he's the offensive coordinator there.
So, yeah, that could also be, like, if we trade down to the second pick, we can get Marvin Harrison and they would take Caleb Williams. But I guess that really depends on how aggressive Washington is and how much we really value that first overall pick. So.
Yeah, and people don't think the Bears are going to get. Some people think the Bears are lucky if they get a second for Fields. I think if they get a second round pick for Fields, I don't think they're going to get like 4 or 5 draft picks. Like, teams are gonna find a second round pick pricey for Fields, and I get that. But like, if that other team picks up his player option, you have 2 years of a starter worthy quarterback in your building. So I think it's fair to get a second round pick for him, which is fine. I wouldn't even be mad about that. I mean, again, I feel like you may have to trade for, if you draft Williams, then you're going to, and you really want to get one of those top receivers. I feel like Poles is going to make a trade, because if you want to get Marvin Harrison Jr., you're going to have to move up to get probably second or third pick. But again, if you're taking Caleb, I think Washington and New England get a little bit desperate. If Fields doesn't go to one of those teams, they're going to get desperate to be like, okay, now it's time to take May, or it's time to take Penix or whoever, you know, in that top 5 of quarterbacks. So it's tricky. And I, I feel like Atlanta makes the most sense too, for him, honestly.
Yeah. What happens?
Not the Raiders, though. Not the Raiders. Like, no. I love how people think, oh, like, it sounds like Luke Getsy wants to work with him again.
If it didn't work in Chicago, too.
why are you going to try to run it back? I mean, and the Raiders,
in Las Vegas,
I would argue
of all
they
places.
Probably have some better offensive talent. I mean, they have Davante Adams. They have
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, they have Michael a little Meyer. Bit more talent than what the Bears have at the moment. So they're talent-wise maybe seem a little bit ideal. And Davante Adams is just like a DJ Moore, of course. We know he's a legitimate number one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But you're going to – like, if I'm Luke Getsy, I got fired because of this guy, essentially.
Yeah.
Or at least partially. I'm not like why would I want to bring him back here? Like that to me,
that tells me it was all Luke Getsy's fault and he knows it. But yeah. What was I going to say? I think, Atlanta makes the most sense for Justin Fields if he were to be traded because he's his hometown. And I don't know. I think you're underselling Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. But what happened?
Well, Robinson, I can understand because he's a legitimate threat in the backfield, and this is also his rookie year. Yeah. And there was questionable decisions of Arthur Smith not running him or using him as much. And it's like, this dude's a workhorse, fresh out of college. Now's the time to use him.
Exactly.
But Kyle Pitts, I mean, come on, we know I think he's a guy that his potential is still very high, but. You know, he has good games, but then he disappears a lot too. It's unfortunate. And
I think that's
Fields going to bring him out? Again, the guy that's still questionable with passing, is he going to be the guy that unlocked the true potential of Pitts? That I don't feel good saying that, to be honest.
Honestly, I think he could just because one of his favorite targets is Cole Kmet. Like Cole Kmet did whenever Justin Fields had a great game, it was Cole Kmet on the receiving end usually. And, but what happens first? We draft. Or we trade Justin Fields. Like if the plan is to draft Caleb Williams, we draft Caleb Williams first or trade Justin Fields first?
And dude, that's another thing that, again, if you're Ryan Poles, the pressure really starts next week at the combine because, again, you have to remember, even in free agency comes first. Teams are going to be looking for Kirk Cousins. Jimmy Garoppolo is expected to be dropped by the Raiders. So you have a couple of quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, I don't think anyone's going to trade for that ridiculous contract. But if he truly gets cut, which basically going to happen, that's right.
Yeah,
that's why he sat out the last two games. Russell Wilson will go to another team. I mean, you're talking a couple legitimate threats to Ryan Poles and the Bears' chances of trading him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't see Washington wanting to bring in, or even the Patriots, like, you're in a rebuild. Why do you want to bring in Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins? I ultimately think Kirk is going to stay
in Minnesota.
I'm wondering what the Raiders do because, I mean, they could try to draft somebody too. I mean, anybody could trade up and be aggressive. Like, I don't think that's off the table for a team like the Raiders, but the Giants need a quarterback, actually. Like, nobody talks about that. Like, even what you, I don't know if they want to go to the mobile quarterback. They had Tyrod Taylor, so
it's because Daniel Jones is hurt, so they want to give it a little, it's like under the radar just because,
yeah. But like, I don't think you're coming back with Daniel Jones next year as your starter. I mean, if you do, you're nuts, or
you're Dable, so
yeah. So that's we'll see what happens with that. So, to answer your question though. I think if they trade Fields, it's happening before the draft because I know that means the cards are on the table. Everyone knows what they're going to do with the first pick, but you need to make sure that you get the best deal for Justin and you need to make sure you could trade him, you know, because again, if a team, you know, let's say for whatever reason, the Patriots do something crazy and they sign Kirk Cousins because they think they're going to win now. Well, you're not going to get that third pick. You're not going to get a second round pick. You're not going to get, you know, a team that's desperate for a quarterback like New England and who even knows about Washington because they may want to keep Sam Howell. I mean, he had some moments. I mean, the poor guy got sacked a million times. You know, even him, like, unless Caleb Williams is there, I don't know if they're going to necessarily go quarterback.
Did he finish
right
top
away.
Five in passing yards in the league?
Let me look that up. I think he was freaking up there for sacks.
He had some games where he just randomly threw for 300 plus yards.
Yeah, let's see. He One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Okay, 12. So just shy of the top 10. I mean, he threw for 3,946. So, okay. And almost a 4,000 yard passer, which, you know, the Bears have never had, by the way. Just another friendly, frustrating reminder.
Yeah.
So, and also sacked. Let me see. Where's the sack numbers? Hey, he was sacked 65 times. 65.
Wow.
By far the most in the league. I don't even know. Let me see if I could sort the stats here because I'm a big stat guy. Yeah. Somehow, well, Bryce Young got sacked 62. Again, that's your classic, these bad teams with bad offensive lines. But, like, we used to feel bad for Cutler getting sacked. I don't know if he ever got sacked that many times in a year. I mean, that is that is insane. So somehow that guy's not broken in a million pieces. So it's just, you know, and I don't know what that new coaching staff, again, with Dan Quinn and company, I don't know what they want. I think if Caleb's on the board, they will pick him up because there's rumors and speculation that they are a fan of him. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if Caleb is gone at one for the Bears, there's a lot of unknowns per se. I mean, we know quarterbacks are going, but who's going to go second? Who's going to go third? Which wide receivers are going to go? I mean, Marvin Harrison will be the first off the board, but then will that cause a domino effect of three or four wide receivers?
Right.
It's going to be a fun draft. It really will.
I know. I can't wait. When is the exact date again?
So we got the combine coming up, NFL draft date. And I mean, that'll be here before you know it, to April 25th through the 27th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Let's see when NFL free agency starts too. Because like I said, now, enjoy this week of calmness, everybody. Yeah, because everybody, enjoy this week of calmness because it's gonna start getting crazy. I mean, we're seeing cuts right now. Like, I mean, Cody Whitehair and Eddie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts, but I think it was time, and they're saving a lot of money.
Speaking of the free agent, where do you think T. Higgins goes? Do you think he gets franchise tagged?
That seems like the best bet. I would assume he's going to get the tag. You mentioned Mike Evans. I personally think Mike Evans, if he leaves Tampa, he's going, he wants to get paid, of course. And rightfully so, is like one of the best, you know, wide receivers ever, but I think he wants a contender.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bears have a chance who I would like, and I don't know if he's going to be at risk of getting tagged, then I could see it happening. Michael Pittman Jr. from the Colts.
I think he gets tagged.
Yeah, if he somehow hits the market, if I'm Ryan Poles, he's the first guy I'm calling on the phone because that dude is,
that would be a great wide receiver too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 4 years, he's got 2 years with 1,000 receiving yards. In 2022, he had 925, so almost 3 years.
With Gardner Minshew, with
it's touchdown production isn't there. But I mean, that's fine. Again, the quarterback carousel over there has been a little bit weird. But hey, if a guy could average 10 to 12 yards a catch, you know, in his career, I could live with that too. You know, get some big plays. I don't think they're going to get like the best. But I mean, even I you would probably love to see Odell, knowing you. But that'd be kind of cool. See Odell,
it'd be cool,
Curtis Samuel as a depth guy. Yeah, because you can get a third string veteran. Right. And then go ahead in the draft. And again, you get that true number two, you know, because a lot of those wide receivers are legit number ones. That's what's cool about this draft, is because if the Bears at some point do draft one of those guys, you arguably have two number one wide receivers to throw to. And again, if you're Justin Fields or Caleb Williams or whoever, you got to be excited. You got to be thrilled. And then you got Kmet. And then, like I said, if you get a guy like, you know, Curtis Samuel or Tyler Boyd, even, not going to put up sexy numbers, but just better than what they had, a guy that you actually could throw to and get involved in the offense. If Eric Waldron
produces, that can not only, so it's not all on the quarterback to make a play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
And what do you think? What do you think they should do in free agency, whether offense or even defense? Cause they have a few little things to do on defense, even though having to really be focused on offense.
Honestly, I kind of like defense. I think we need to – I have to look to see if there's any defensive backs, like free safeties. But
I think Darnell Savage. I heard some – I read something today about somebody saying that the Bears should look to sign him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Because Jaquan is playing strong, right? Who's playing strong?
I believe so. Let me check out the safety market here.
Jaquan Brisker. But no, I think one look, it might be crazy, but I think one look the Bears should try to sign is Saquon at running back. Now, I know we have Roshan and Khalil Herbert, but if we get Saquon.
I think it depends on the price. I don't know how much break the bank on him.
No,
but yeah, I mean, I like Justin Herbert, but or not Justin, God, Khalil Herbert. I actually, you know, there was a time when I was like, what if we traded for Justin Herbert?
Well, I saw that scenario too.
Yeah. But give me Justin Herbert, pair him with Khalil Herbert, and call it a day. We'll go with that. But no, Khalil Herbert is, he's good. But like, as we know, the NFL, you could have two or three good running backs and just use them all. And Saquon has an injury history too. So it wouldn't hurt to have some of these back, these but guys Roshan, to check them up.
We have Saquon, Roshan, Khalil. That'd be a nice, strong running back room. Very dependable. Is $6 million too much for Saquon? 2 years.
I would even
$6 million.
Bring back Deontay Foreman. I don't know what happened at the end of the year where he only played in 9 games. I know he had an injury, but then there's some like low key, potential drama where he was tweeting out some things, and it appeared he wasn't happy with what they were doing with him, and it kind of scratched my head too because the guy played really well for those couple of games when he started because of Herbert being out. So,
right.
I don't know. But to answer your question, I'm looking at safeties here. Eddie Jackson was a free safety, so they'd be looking to get a free safety. Buda Baker from Arizona, he's 28. I don't know if he's going to command a huge salary because I think he kind of fell off. You know, if you want to get a veteran, I know Adrian Phillips was just released by New England. You want to bring back Tayshaun Gibson. I wouldn't be opposed. I actually liked him in his tenure here at the Bears. So, yeah. Or Adrian Amos. We could bring him back. He's a free agent.
I don't want Adrian Amos Green back. Bay. Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, now 30, almost 31 years old, and he kind of fell off a bit too. So, is Terrell, I always forget, is Terrell Edmonds? I know he's on, he was on Tennessee. I think he's the brother of our Edmonds.
Yes, they're brothers.
So we want to do the brothers defensive thing.
Yeah, we got to get the DB too. But the Bears should also look into getting another linebacker. I love what's his
name? A
little
bit of depth doesn't hurt.
Yeah, get like Denzel Perryman. I love his game in Houston. Or Quan Alexander. I know he's kind of older, but.
Or but you could get Danielle Hunter from Minnesota. He's an outside linebacker, but they could list it as one, but he could play. I'm pretty sure he played defensive end too.
He did.
Or started there, I guess, maybe from a defensive philosophy change over there. So, like, you could bring, they do need one more pass rusher. So, you could bring in a guy like him.
Or, you know, do it through a trade, trading maybe a draft pick. But that's only if you get the right pass rusher that you want.
Yeah, true. Exactly. And again, if you trade that pick, maybe you're able to, you know, get some picks and a player in the return again, too. That number one pick
exactly
will
like
get
the
you
Carolina
a lot.
Carolina trade, right.
Yeah, it will get you a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know. I like our cornerbacks. I do want a little bit of depth, maybe, but I'm not really liking. There's actually some decent cornerback free agents. Micah Hyde from Buffalo. Well, he's a strong.
Yeah, the Bears are getting to the point where they really just need to. They need a pass rusher. They need to obviously, and they could even draft that safety too. I'm sure at some point in the draft they're drafting a young safety, and then I mean, again, I don't have a problem if you bring in you draft the safety in the later rounds and you sign a veteran safety for a year or two just to kind of bridge the gap, you know, a bridge player for a couple of years. So that's you have options there. So you're working on depth, but I really ultimately at the end of the day, Jared, I know I repeat all the time here, but if the Bears aren't like focused on like 70% of their additions are offense and then 30 or 40% are defense, I think they're doing it wrong. Like you have to load up. That's one thing Ryan Poles needs to do and not be like the rest, like everybody that came before him in this organization is, you know, you can't go in my opinion, you can't really go and sign have a Robert Quinn kind of deal where it's like, look, our best free agent is a defensive guy again. No, it's got to be maybe in free agency if you want, but like you have to load up on talent on offense again for whoever the quarterback is. If there's one thing you and I agree on, because I'll make it official that I'm kind of turning into Team Caleb, drafting with the number one pick in trade Fields. Me and you don't see eye to eye on that, and that's cool. I think the one thing we agree on though is that they need to just load up on offense for sure. They got to get the talent in here for whoever's the quarterback.
Yeah, and it's like you said, like it's about time Chicago is not known for just its defense. You know,
and the 85 Bears,
of course, and sweetness, Walter Payton, rest in peace.
But never forget those guys, of course. But like, you know, we gotta, how about our generation? Can we see this team win? We've seen the Blackhawks win, we've seen the Cubs win, we were
born when the Bulls won, the
Sox win. Yeah, we existed when the Bulls were a dynasty, but not that we could really watch.
The Cubs won, yep, like you said.
Yeah,
and Ryan Poles just has, he has the offseason's in his hands. Like, objectively, I don't think he can really do any wrong. And I do trust Ryan Poles and his decisions, of course. But in my opinion, I will always see if we do not, not only if we trade Justin Fields, but don't draft Marvin Harrison, I think it is a mistake. But I also trust Ryan Poles. I understand he knows what he's doing. And like you said, if he doesn't majorly focus on the offense, try to make that splash on the offensive side and try to produce that 4,000-yard quarterback in Chicago, then I think it is a mistake / failure.
Yeah, I mean, either way, this is a defining offseason for Ryan Poles as an executive in the NFL for sure. I mean, not only can his job be on the line with the Bears, but probably also this is the whole league. Yeah, they're going to, you know, whatever his decisions are here.
The number one overall pick 2 years in a row. How do you fumble that?
Yeah, I mean, this turns into high expectations, but ultimately this team needs to actually win something. Yeah, this team needs to turn into a playoff team, because you don't get gifted opportunities like this that often. You know, there's a reason why, you know, they call it a once in a lifetime. I mean, if you suck that bad where you have the first pick 5 years in a row, maybe you just sell the team, close it, fold it up.
They will never sell the team
ever. Yeah, no. And that's a whole conversation for another day about maybe some owners that care. Just like how the Bulls have an owner that doesn't really care, huh? I think this is a great segue to talking about some basketball here, because the one thing I haven't talked about on this podcast yet since bringing it back is the Bulls. I wanted to kind of wait and see what they did at the trade deadline, which was I did more on the trade deadline, actually. I did more that day than the Bulls did.
I think I took out the trash that day.
Yeah, I went to work. Yeah. I have some coworkers that are huge Bulls fans that always bring up the freaking the 90s, of course, to me. And some of them were pissed. A lot of Bulls fans are pissed that they didn't do anything. And Karnisovas and company, they think they should keep this team. And they really think they could win and compete and go to the playoffs this year.
Does he think Lonzo Ball is out there throwing alley-oops to Zach LaVine? I don't. What is he watching?
It's a dream fantasy that I think that he wants to hold this team together for him to potentially come back. And there's no guarantee he does or ever be the same player. I mean, it's a significant injury to be out for 2 years at this point.
Yeah. And it's one of those, they still haven't figured it out to this day. It's like, they still don't know, but he's okay. Clear to run now. So maybe he comes back, but he's going to be way deconditioned. Out of rhythm, muscle memory won't be there, not even right away or where we need him to be at. So like, it will be a project. And then how old is he now with the kid? He's kind of,
yeah, no, I mean, he's losing a chunk of his prime right now. He's 26, but again, he's got the leg knee of
and there's no guarantee that knee
player,
yeah, that knee holds.
We know
up
about knees in this team. We know about knees.
Why are we cursed? Why can't we
just
have a point
black
guard?
Cloud that just hovers over the United Center. I'm convinced.
It's because of Michael Jordan.
They're like, you know what? They had the greatest player of all time. They don't get anything for the next 50 years.
Yeah, but I understand at first when our team was healthy and playing together, wanting to continuity and build that kind of team chemistry throughout the years. But that is no longer the case. We have Andre Drummond playing significant minutes. Kobe White is playing a different role. Io is even stepping up. Patrick Williams isn't even playing or barely in the rotation now. It is a different team and a different play style. And it's more so like a younger Bulls. Like, it's a young Bulls team now. And I think you kind of have to move into that direction of thinking of maybe not significantly rebuilding, but more so letting go of this imaginary championship window you brought yourself onto with this team.
Yeah, that I agree. And look, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm very critical of this team right now, but I'm also very sad that it didn't work out, because for the short time Lonzo played 2 years ago, that was fun. I mean, when I never forgot the day when they traded and acquired DeMar DeRozan. He was one of my favorite players growing up. I mean, and DeMar, again, yeah, he's older and he's not his true form from a couple of years ago. But I mean, the dude still plays pretty well. I mean, Karnisovas says that, hey, you know, DeMar's our closer, and that's great. And I, so one thing I agree with him on is you could still rely on DeMar DeRozan to win you a game and to score points and be that offensive guy. But at the same time, that's not the winning formula for a championship team. You need to have a facilitator like Lonzo with moving the ball. Zach LaVine, I don't know what happened with him either, man. Like, I was okay with giving him the max because, like, look, he was playing well. He was with DeRozan. They're the two top two scorers. Yeah.
And like you said, when Lonzo was playing, we were the best team in the league. Like, I was like excited. Like, it's been a while. Like, I was excited to watch every game, every Bulls game that season, because of how like special and fun, how much fun they were having out there. And we were the number one seed going into the All-Star break, and then it all went downhill. And that's the thing with Zach LaVine. Like, I also did not mind at the time when we were giving him the extension. I was contemplating back and forth, saying I was not thinking he's that type of guy, but he kept proving me wrong throughout that season, and he was playing. So I thought, okay, maybe this is the turning point for Zach LaVine. And then as soon as Lonzo Ball goes out, DeMar misses a few games or so here and there, and it's just the team forgets to play for each other. And so I think that dream is over.
Yeah, I agree. And like, it kind of amazes me too. Like, this is like three deadlines in a row where they didn't make a trade. And what, Javon Carter was their prized, and Torrey Craig, those were the prized free agency moves. Like, of course you need depth, guys. And we know back in the day, like when you and I, we've been, you know, longtime friends. And when we first became friends back in middle school and high school, we got to watch the Derrick Rose days and the Joakim Noahs and the Ronnie Brewers coming off the bench.
Ben Gordon,
Kyle Korver, you know, the three-point shooter when we actually had a three-point shooter. Like, you need those guys, those role players, those guys that they may maybe they don't score you 20 points a night, but they have a role. They're going to play defense. They're going to get rebounds. Alex Caruso, that's the kind of player I am when I play basketball. I'm the short white dude that can't shoot for shit, but like, I'll play defense. I'll run around. I'll try to get a rebound. I'll try to move that ball around. It's A plus effort. It's max effort from a guy like him. And it actually leads to wins and statistics on the score sheet.
Yeah. Inspires his team to also play defense and play as hard as he's playing. And that's what
If GM LeBron loves you, I mean, what does that say? You know, because that dude is cycling out players every freaking year. The Lakers, Cleveland, Miami, everywhere he goes, it's like he's playing my GM or whatever. So, you know, for him to get the high regard of a guy like LeBron when he was playing in LA, like,
yeah,
what does that say?
He won a ring with him. Like, he knows what it takes. He's been through the process of like making it to the finals. The Bulls haven't made a trade since August 2021.
That's hello? Wild. Like, really? What are we doing?
That's actually wild.
I mean, I don't know how you don't sell when you're just a team that just might go into the play-in, or they probably will go into the play-in, but I don't think there's any chance of them winning a series in the postseason. So
it'll be like, yeah.
I don't see it. And before we before we turn the mics on, we were talking a little bit, and you mentioned something about that you don't think there's like a clear plan with this team. And I wanted you to, now that we got the mics cracked open, to elaborate on that.
Yeah, I just don't feel like there's really a clear direction of where, like I said earlier, like I want the Bulls to focus more so on the younger players and develop them. And, you know, you can keep the veteran presence around, but get someone like a facilitator to help move the offense and help the younger players kind of grow their game, as we're seeing with like Kobe White and Io Sumo. But there's no real like clear direction anymore with the injuries we've had and the players not playing anymore, like Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball. Like, that was the whole point. The continuity was keeping the core of Lonzo, DeMar, Vooch, and Zach LaVine, and Alex Caruso, of course. And then half of that is gone. So now, like I said, the players don't know who we're really playing for. Like, just like recently, we started to play like more team basketball, better production, but that's because like Zach LaVine is not playing, and I think we should trade him. Honestly, the contract is bad. Objectively, it looks, no teams really want to trade for a guy like Zach LaVine with this type of contract, and now with his season-ending foot injury. So I think we're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, he's going to have to come back and actually play out of his mind and play like he's fighting for that contract again, like he did a couple of years ago, because yeah, you're going to have to really win somebody over if they're going to acquire him for the money that they're going to have to spend to pay his contract, but also what they're going to have to give up, because the Bulls aren't going to be like, yeah, you know, just give us a second round pick. No, I mean, LaVine's talented enough to where you should get a haul, not the best haul, but, and that's another thing too, when you talk about draft picks and stuff, this team, you know, they got punished for tampering with Lonzo, so that's a lost draft pick. I think in this year's draft, I think it's only a second round pick.
Yeah.
So, and we know that they have historically, as of late, have not been great at drafting. I think the last, I mean, yes, Io in 2021, second round pick, didn't have a first round pick. You know, Terry in the draft from Arizona this year, he's a nobody. God. Everybody was excited for Patrick Williams. I don't even know when people thought that he was going to be worth a max deal. Like, I don't know where that conversation ever came up.
Patrick,
I know
Williams?
He had a couple of, yeah.
What?
Yeah, some people, that was a debate last year. Is this a guy that you have max deal to?
Huh? I think it's because of like his build. I think it's like the OG effect of like that lengthy, tall defender that can guard all positions, strong.
But he doesn't take over a game. He's not.
He doesn't.
Like, you know, and I know you have a lot of star power on this team right now, and I know DeMar is going to dominate with the ball. I know when LaVine was healthy and playing well, that guy's going to get the ball. I mean, you got two guys that need the ball in their hand to produce. But Patrick Williams, really, in my opinion, the best pick they've had, draft pick since going back 10-plus years at this point now, you know, when they drafted Jimmy Butler, it's probably Kobe White. This is the guy, I think now it's, if it was me, the direction is building around Kobe White.
Yeah.
You have that point guard that could score. He could shoot. You build around him. Io could be there. You know, you throw him at shooting guard, or, you know, you're swapping
you get,
them.
You get
in
a
and
sharp
out.
Shooter yeah. from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of help space the floor. The Bulls also have a terrible time trying to space the floor. It's just ridiculous with the shooters we have, too.
Maybe a coaching change needs to be had, because Donovan, I like Billy Donovan, but I don't know how he does not. I don't think he knows how to coach this team and put a plan together, because the starting lineups are changing every day. You know, now we discover in the middle of the season that Andre Drummond could actually play.
Yeah.
The guy is one of the best rebounders in the league for years. I wanted Andre Drummond like 5 years ago when the dude was grabbing 20 boards a game.
20 every night.
Yeah. So now we're figuring this out. Great. Great.
Billy Donovan runs this team like a college team. It's just, I think he's more fit of a college coach. And the Bulls tend to always hire college coaches. Fred Hoiberg, prime example. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We love, well, Jim Boylan was the guy that takes the cake. That, I mean, I don't. And that's the sad thing too, though, Jared, is that I think, and again, the guy that owns this team is also screwing up the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Bears, people talk about the McCaskies and whatnot. The every team in this city just has owners that they act like they care, they talk like they care, but I really don't know if they do, because apparently Karnisovas said that he's got the support of ownership. But then when you have Jerry Reinsdorf say that, like, oh, the Sox, laughing at a press conference, oh, the Sox aren't even going to try to go for Ohtani. Not that Ohtani would want to come to the White Sox anyways, but to say you're not going to spend money. And this is the same guy that also said you want to be good enough just to keep the fans coming. So
yeah, that was...
you're seeing this with the Bulls. They're mid. They're good enough to win a few games. They're leading the league in attendance. You know,
you're saving money by not spending money on players, those max contract type players.
And I'm surprised he's going to let them. They want to re-sign DeRozan. I don't know if he's going to.
I saw that
come back. I think he'd be crazy to come back.
Yeah, I think he goes to a contender.
Yeah, and he should. I mean, it's going to be probably last stop for him. You know, try to win something before he hangs up, you know, the shoes. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from an overall standpoint, it's got to be frustrating. And you're a bigger Bull. I'll even say you're probably a bigger Bulls fan than me, of course. So, like, just what are your overall thoughts on not even just this team and the situation right now, but just, you know, with who's running the front office and just, I guess, Jerry Reinsdorf. Like, it just amazes me, Jared, the guy witnessed the greatest, like, basketball dynasty ever, and he doesn't want to see that again. And when you win championships and have superstar players and MVPs like Derrick Rose and whatnot, you make a lot more money because you're selling jerseys. Don't you want to sell
your more
championship
popular
memorabilia again? You're going to make more money if you win. That's what kills me is, oh, we're making enough now. And he wants more, of course. So then win. Bring in guys that want to win. Draft guys that want to win. But they have none of that. So now I'm ranting. I'll shut up here. Again, back to you on your thoughts of this whole organization overall.
No, and I think you've highlighted mostly what I would say as well. Like, it's just more so like a conservative approach in terms of, you know, they don't want to take that risk. They don't want to take the risk of spending all that money on those players and not get that return in, you know, whatever they were expecting, more than what they could just be saving on if they didn't spend that type of money. And you know, it's Chicago's a big market, so it's easily marketable. So they can sell us on the dream that the Bulls, like, we're going to try to get better. We want the teams to perform better for the city. And we will just eat it up. Like, there's no stopping. It's just a cycle of, it's like a politician lie, essentially. And Jerry will never sell the team. Like you said, he saw the Jordan dynasty, and that's pretty much it. He's gonna walk away from the casino. He's not gonna take that chance ever again. Like, he knows, like, that was peak for him, and he knows that he'll never reach that ever again. So, I think that could also be a part reason why we're just never the aggressive team, never the team in the conversation of being one of the best in the leagues, because we don't, as a big market, it's disappointing because, like, you're supposed to attract that type of talent. You're supposed to be in that type of buzz, but we just never are. And since Derrick Rose, we really haven't had that type of buzz. Well, we had it for, like, of course, we talked about a couple years ago or a few years ago when Lonzo, Zach LaVine, DeMar, and all of them were playing for the first time, but it's just, we can never be one of those teams. And it's just disappointing, but yet we get these little flashes that keeps us coming back. Like you said, Kobe White, he's going to keep us coming back.
And my last hot take of the podcast here is I truly think we are living through a Chicago sports era that's one of the lamest, because all these teams are at fault with something. The Bears want to live in the past. They want to talk about the 1985 Super Bowl for 38 plus years now. The Bulls want to live off of the Jordan dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs won once, and then they, you know, redid Wrigley Field and did all this other stuff. I mean, the Ricketts have invested a lot of money into the organization.
Now, hang on, the Cubs.
But now we don't get Bellinger. But now it's like, oh, we can't pay for Bellinger. The White Sox, hey, they had something going. They want to trade and give up everything. And the flipping owner is going to laugh about not signing an international all-star.
The best player in the league. Like, how do you laugh that
and
out?
And again, realistically, Ohtani's not going to think twice about coming to the White Sox. I understand that, but you're not going to sign anybody. They signed the wrong players and didn't spend enough money to put around Tim Anderson and these guys a couple of years ago when they truly were contenders. And that's what's frustrating. The only team that I guess gets a pass is the Blackhawks because they had a great 10-year run. They're going through the classic life cycle of sports where they're in a rebuild. And now they got their number one pick with Connor Bedard. Oh, and he looks great so far.
God, he looks amazing.
Yeah, there's hope. But again, that team's coming off winning and they're already, they suck this year, but that's, again, it's
a process.
To be expected. Yeah, it's a process. It's the beginning of the process for them. But all these other teams, man, this is number three market in the country for media and for a lot of other things, marketing and whatnot. And these owners, they just don't care, Jared. And it really upsets me. Do you agree? Like, what are your thoughts on that before we wrap up? Do you agree with me that this is a lame era or do you have more a more positive outlook than me?
You know, I used to not think like that. I used to think maybe I'll see a Bears championship, a Bulls championship in my lifetime. But the more and more disappointments that keep happening, the more that just goes into the distance and is no longer there. It's just like with the Bears going to the Super Bowl in 2006. That was the chance. That was our opportunity, but no. And now we're cursed with never having a good quarterback or a competent offense. And with the Bulls, Derrick Rose, that was our chance. But no. Now we're
and
cursed.
We're young, Jared. We're young. But I don't know. World War III might be on the horizon. There could be civil war in this country. I don't know. There could be another coronavirus. Like, we're in our 20s, but I don't know if we're going to make
the
it
time
long-term
is
with
now.
The way the world's going. So, like, can you win right now, please? So I can die happy at whatever the circumstances are, please?
For real, I don't want to go to another Blackhawks parade and have to have a girl pass out on me.
Jared being the hero. Or no, you didn't catch her, right?
I didn't catch her. Well, not at first, but then I caught her, but...
I'd actually like to go to the parade with you guys because I had freaking college orientation in 2015. So I got you guys sending me Snapchats. I have family members sending me Snapchats
really
to Chicago. And I'm at orientation sitting in a boring lecture hall. So I was like, I'm a little bit jealous of this.
It was really
But I went to the 2013 one. So
we were spoiled in that fashion.
Yeah, three of them. And Chicago really celebrates, as we know. They have, to this day, like, I laugh with people like, wow, there's 600,000 fans at so-and-so's Super Bowl parade. We have millions going to Grant Park, y'all. Like, that's...
Chicago shows out, and it's a very passionate sports city, and that's what makes it more frustrating and hurtful, because it's... How do you not maximize on that as a number three market in the nation, as one of those top markets? How do you not maximize on that? Like you said, you could make more money just winning. So why not invest more into trying to do that?
Exactly. More success for a business leads to more money and more opportunities. And I'm not a millionaire. I didn't go to business school or anything. I feel like a lot of people would agree that it's common sense. And it's more fun to work and run an organization and work there and play there when you're winning, and it's a positive, winning, competitive culture. It's freaking common sense. And you put that mindset to other industries and other jobs and workplaces and companies too. It's not just sports, but I don't know.
I'm sure it's also better to not hear, you know, sell the team or fire the GM.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure you'd want the fans to, you know, just speak lightly of you.
Yeah, and like Reinsdorf should be viewed as a freaking god in this city, sports god, because of the dynasty with the Bulls. And why can't they do it one more time? Why can't they win one more, you know, World Series with the White Sox when they had a legitimate shot a couple of seasons ago? Like,
that was also disappointing. I'm not a Sox fan like you are, but that was disappointing to watch.
Yeah, them, like, very sad. Out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sad.
But also, but Jared, before we leave,
go ahead.
Justin Fields.
One more Justin Fields quote?
Not a quote, but you should listen to the St. Brown's podcast. You know, their podcast. Justin Fields is going to be on it. There's an interview. and they asked him about him unfollowing the Bears on Instagram. And he said, I'm glad you brought this up. I want to talk about it. And so just stay tuned tomorrow.
Oh, was that the preview where they're like,
yeah, they didn't, oh, they didn't show the boy. Answer because it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's going to be a much listen. So, yeah, the day this releases, listen to the, well, you made it this far. Thanks for listening. Now go check that out. So hopefully you came here first. True number one fans of Windy City Sports Talk.
This is the pre.
Yeah, that's the pre. Well, and thanks for coming on, Jared. I'll definitely have you on again. I think it definitely will be cool to come back and revisit some of these things when, obviously, when things pan out, when these events actually happen and occur. So, you'll definitely be on here again. But thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No, it was fun.
The anti-Justin Fields here.
I love the debate. I love the different opinions and talking and just hearing the different sides of it because I can be stuck in my own world of like, Justin Fields is the guy, but I also understand. I want
to. Yeah, it's like good therapy for struggling Chicago sports fans like us. This is therapy for anyone listening. This is therapy for us to get this stuff off of our chest. And thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet, like the podcast, follow it, subscribe, to wherever that you could literally just Google Windy City Sports Talk. You'll find this on multiple podcasting platforms. Leave a good review, even leave a comment, leave a review or just leave a comment on these episodes that you listen to. Give us your thoughts on the Bears and whatever it is we're talking about. And also, I do have a TikTok where I'm trying to pull clips from the shows to one, promote the podcast, but also if anyone wants to leave comments and debate there, the internet gets your popcorn ready in the comment sections for anything that gets interesting. So look out for the TikTok account too. And just keep coming back for more. Thank you, Jared, for coming on. Go Bears, go Bulls, and we'll see you on the next one.
That's going to do it for Windy City Sports Talk, the podcast with Will Hatzel. Please share the podcast with neighbors and friends and make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
While you're at it, please give us a 5-star rating and share your feelings about the podcast by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to the show.
Thanks again for listening to Windy City Sports, the podcast. See you next time.